Good morning and welcome back.
Yeah, I'll come out a little bit louder.
Good morning and welcome back to Excerpts from the ABBA Archives, the podcast that's not about ABBA, it's about us. My name's A. Kirby, and with me as always is
B. Peterson, and it finally happened. We straight up forgot to do an episode last week. In all fairness, if there was a week that we would forget, it would have been last week.
Yeah, and specifically Monday, Tuesday, when we record.
Yeah. Even Wednesday, though. Yeah. It was, every day was very busy because we moved.
Yeah.
We no longer live in Portland. We now live, for the time being, in Spokane.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to move all our stuff to a storage unit and then us to Spokane.
Yeah.
And it, yeah, got a lot of stuff.
We do. Too much stuff.
But it all worked out.
Yeah. I am astonished that we got everything in the storage units that we did.
Yeah, because my mom already had her stuff in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah.
Just
3D Tetris.
Just due to B's Tetris skills.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, so Monday we packed everything into the U-Haul and vehicles and cleaned the house. Tuesday we made the pilgrimage to Le Grand and stored everything. And then Wednesday morning we went up to Spokane. And then Thursday we unpacked everything that we had brought from Spokane. Again, we had made the surprise trip, and I'm so glad we did. We could not have done it without bringing River up early.
We just had enough room for everything we had.
Oh yeah, so 2 carloads is how much we got. In fairness, a lot of it on the way up the second time was like food and cleaning supplies, which is like stuff we can just leave here that we don't have to take back down
and will be used and will go away.
Anyway, we might need to do 2 carloads just because we'll have 2 animals going down for sure. Plus the box and the games and stuff and books.
Yeah, I think 2 carloads is likely.
But at least it's a shorter trip this time. Yeah. All right. Have we watched anything? I dreamt that we watched the Rocky Horror Picture Show again. But we didn't actually do that.
Well, we did.
Oh, but yeah, we've got 2 weeks to talk about.
Yeah.
So yeah, we watched Rocky Horror Picture Show. And saw it again.
Your third viewing.
Mm-hmm.
My 6th or 7th.
Yeah. At the Clinton Street, without the cabaret this time. It was the show for virgins, which is, if I do see it, in a theater again, I think that's how I'd like to do it. Because it's just the call-outs. There's not, like, people on stage as well.
The shadow cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I liked it both ways, but this was a good... Yeah, this was the right one to see.
Yeah. So we saw the Rocky Horror Picture Show. She said it was a bad movie, the person hosting. And that's just not true.
And it's riffing bad movies. It's referencing, like, old bad sci-fi movies.
And also old great sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
I don't know. It
knows its stuff. Yeah, it's not a bad movie.
It's a great movie. It's one of the better ones.
And it's very intentional. Like, it is what it sets out to be.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a successful movie.
Yeah, not a bad film.
No.
Did we see any other films before we left?
I don't think so.
Yeah. But we did watch Emperor's New Groove. Once we got here and settled down. And that's just a fun time. It's not great. It's pretty fun.
I feel like the story is really simple and predictable. Like, the story is like baseline moral story. Mm-hmm. But what makes it enjoyable is just the way the characters are presented. And yes. So
this it's a pretty good slapstick comedy.
The way they all function in the story is really like seems really generic and like unsurprising and formulaic. But all of the character definition and the presentation is really engaging.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Kronk.
Yeah, everyone loves Kronk. Eartha Kitt as Yzma. I didn't know that Eartha Kitt was Yzma until I saw a clip of her doing the voice recording. But, yeah. No, I mean, it's just a good time. It's a good time. I remember seeing, like, highlights of it. Like, when I would go to, like, the doctor's office, they'd have it, like, a DVD or VHS of it on in, like, the waiting area. Mm. And so I would remember seeing, like, clips from it. Like, the waterfall clip, the jaguar, all that I remember seeing over and over and over and over and over again. Because I'd, like, have my doctor's appointment and it would be playing. And then I'd get out of the doctor's appointment and it would still be playing. It'd be about the same spot.
Yeah.
So we watched Emperor's New Groove. We also watched Palm Springs. Which is a film that I had saw. It kind of took the world by storm in the beginning of the pandemic when it came out on Hulu, because it's a time loop Groundhog Day situation. And so it felt relevant in the opening of the pandemic, where every day was the same and nothing mattered. And it has some fun quirks with the formula. And it's, I guess, kind of a romance.
Yeah.
You talk about Palm Springs.
I like that it starts out kind of assuming we know what the time loop is. Like, we have one character who has been in it for a while and one character...
And it's never specified how long. Like, this man, the Andy Samberg character, could potentially have been in this for decades. Like, there's nothing saying that he hasn't. He doesn't remember, you know, he doesn't really remember his life before this.
Yeah, and so I like starting there. I like the place it starts.
Mm-hmm.
What lost me is the romance, because on Andy Samberg's side of the romance, it feels like there's some growth and some development, and he's realizing why she's behaving the way she is.
Yeah, Kristen Milioti, who is delightful in this film, I really like her.
Yeah, and he wants to, he does the journey of realizing he wants to be with this person, and you know, which is, you know, your typical romance arc of kind of
realization, getting over yourself and realizing that this woman will complete you or whatever.
And his arc works, and then hers goes on a totally different direction. Mm-hmm. She does there's no realization. It's not about him. And so, which makes it feel like this is one of those stories where the woman realizes it's not about the man and can go off and do her own thing, and it doesn't need to be a romance, but and like that would work for me, because like that's how it feels it's going, that she just doesn't like him back, and you know, it's like I'm thinking of Passengers, the two people stuck together that just happened to, you know, there's some issues.
Pratt, Jennifer Lawrence film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that it happens to be a happy ending, even though it's super creepy and weird. And this doesn't have the creepy aspect, but it does have the two people stuck together aspect.
Sure.
And what if those people aren't the romantic pair?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, that would have worked for me if they hadn't gotten together. Like, it would have been a little sad for, like, Andy Samberg's character, but, like, that would have worked as a story. But then she just randomly says I love you at the end, like,
yeah,
and it just feels like out of left field, like that whole scene where like he's having his like confession of love to her, and you know, telling her how much, you know, he wants to be with her, and she's just looking at him like totally confused. You know, it's one of those moments where it's like, someone's like, I love you, and then realizes the person isn't like them back. And that is the whole vibe for the whole conversation, where she's just like, what is, you know, no. And then 2 seconds later, she's like, I love you. And I'm like, and then they kiss and then they have a happy ending. And I'm like, what? So I don't know. It loses me there.
Sure.
Because I don't, it just doesn't work for me.
Yeah, but, that's fair. And this film, I really quite liked it when I first saw it. And watching it a second time, I was like, oh, it's fine. Mm-hmm. It has gone down in my estimation. Mm-hmm. There's still some funny bits, but they're just funny bits. So, yeah. All right. Is that the... And then we watched, like, the first third of Rear Window.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I finally had a realization about that film that, I watched it as a kid, and then I think I didn't quite get it, and now I kind of had one of those oh moments. You know, like, it sets up him having this girlfriend, Lisa, and mm-hmm. they talk about her, and in the next scene she appears, and they have a
long scene together.
That kind of proves or demonstrates what he was talking about in the previous scene.
Sure.
Except as a kid... He said, watching it, I can't follow the dialogue. And so I hear him say, who are you? When she walks in, and it's kind of like a playful energy, mm-hmm. I guess more of like.
You thought he genuinely didn't know who
I thought that was part of the mystery when I was a kid.
Who is the strange woman who appears?
And because I couldn't pick up on anything else, but I heard like, who are you and what's this person doing here?
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't get that was like a throwaway line. I thought like, oh, who is she?
that is adorable. Yeah. I've seen the film once before. I thought it was quite good. I don't know. There's a lot of dated stuff here. I mean, who knows how it resolves? I can't really speak to it yet, but there's a lot of stuff so far that's making me going, I don't know.
Though watching the woman.
Well, yeah, not just that, but just the way he talks about people.
Yeah.
And about women.
Yeah.
And like his housekeeper, you know. Anyway, it's very, I don't know, it's heteronormative.
Yeah, the scene that, or like the moment that I really liked, I think, is the moment where he's watching the woman who's pretending to have a date.
Oh, yeah.
Like that
what a lovely moment of silence.
I love that moment.
Uh-huh.
Where it's the realization, like, it looks like she's getting prepared to have someone over, mm-hmm. and then you realize, no, she's not having anyone over, she's going to pretend to have someone over.
Yeah.
And then she just kind of breaks down after a second.
Yeah.
And he's watching her in this private moment, you know, and that moment of him watching, of just seeing, catching this person in this moment of sadness and yeah. loneliness is, I just really like that part,
mm-hmm.
if nothing else. I mean, and I like the rest of the movie, but that part really stands out to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll speak more to it when I've seen the whole thing again. We played a bunch of games with my family,
mm-hmm.
now that we're living with my family. We played High Society some more. Fun little bidding game. Actually, we haven't talked about High Society at all.
Yeah.
On the show. We traded in your copy of The Resistance, which I already had a copy of, and it was still shrink-wrapped and everything, so...
Yeah, because I don't have friends to play it with.
Yeah, I mean, well, specifically that one, pandemic, which is minimum five
players. My excuse is the pandemic.
Sure.
I do have some friends.
Oh, yeah, I know you do. Wink, wink. No. So we played high, we went to a game store. We got 13 bucks credit. You got a puzzle. I got my brother a copy of Star Realms, which he likes, and I've been holding on to because it's mine. and then we picked up this game that neither of us had played before, but I'd heard some about, called High Society, which is this bidding game. And it's a beautifully integrated theme, to its mechanics, where you have a set number of money, you're all wealthy socialites, and you're bidding on these luxuries. And the goal of the game is to get the most luxury. But you also can't spend too much money because if you're the poorest, you're automatically disqualified.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a very fun game that I've enjoyed playing.
Sweet.
Yeah, just and you can very much get into character with it.
And
it's got French.
Yeah, and I like it's this fantasy of very like turn of the century Gibson girl, everyone speaks French world, but the cards.
I think it's set in France.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. But it's still.
Did you think it was set in the U.S.?
I mean, I figured.
Alexa, we're not talking to you.
I don't know.
We're living with that now.
Yeah, no, I think I need that. But, because I know also, like, French is sometimes used as a status symbol.
Is it?
In some contexts.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, it's given that vibe to me of people being like, oh, it's French.
Okay, you had your own point. Anyway. So it's this turn of the century.
European
mm-hmm.
fantasy of being this wealthy class in Europe. And it's a very, it's got all these pictures of people on the cards, and I don't know, it's very diverse.
Yeah, it's a very inclusive set of images.
And so I like that that everyone is allowed to have this fantasy of being a wealthy socialite.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a well-designed game. It's well-illustrated, it's well-designed, the components are really nice. I really like the big cards of the stuff we're bidding on. It feels like, you know, like old money, you know, or like you're playing, I don't know, what's the baccarat? I don't know, you're just like, or the casino tiles that you bid with or something. And so it's a really fun game. It's very small. It's very simple. It's super easy to teach. Yeah, and so we've had a lot of fun playing it with your mom and my dad.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We also introduced you to Sushi Go.
Yes.
Which has long been a family favorite of ours. Mm-hmm. We are at a conveyor belt sushi restaurant, and the hands of cards are going between players, and each time we pick out one card, and we're trying to essentially build sets that are worth various amounts of points, and the person with the most points at the end wins. Whoever had the most satisfying, aesthetically pleasing meal, I guess.
Oh, I love how cute this game is.
It's so cute. The art style is adorable. All the sushi has faces, little smiling faces.
And in terms of like goals of like your end game, you know, it's not about like ruthlessly defeating anyone. It's about just having some nice, cute food.
Look at all my dumplings.
Look
at all my sashimi.
It's a very pleasant game.
It's a very pleasant game. It's very easy to play. Very easy to teach. And again, the theme is really well integrated with the mechanics, and that you're passing hands of cards, and it's sushi going around.
And I do love me as a conveyor belt sushi restaurant.
Yeah, it's fun. All right. Anything more before we get to what we're sitting in front of? Or is that
Sherlock?
We've been watching Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. We watched about an episode and a half together.
Yeah. I watched all. So when we first. So I'm back at my parents' place. I bring out all the Lego at 11 at night, and I watch all of season 4 of Sherlock, which is not a good season. The first episode, which is all about Mary's hit squad and stuff, is not very good. And the third episode, the final problem with like the sister in the prison, all that, is just very, very bad. The second episode with Toby Jones as the serial killer is pretty good, because it's actually about Sherlock actually going to it's about him going full substance abuse disorder, and it gets proper dark. And I enjoy that. It's too bad that it's bookended by weird bridging material to the sister episode, but anyway. It's mixed bag.
mostly bad, but it's I like one of the episodes.
Anyway.
And then we watched Reichenbach Fall and the beginning of Empty Hearse together.
And I quite like Reichenbach Fall.
It's one of the best episodes. Yeah.
I like it. It feels very like just clean and like it's got its point. It's got the plan to bring him down, and I don't know, I feel like I know
where there's not too many. It's very straightforward. It's not like we're just running all over the place. It's a very focused episode. I will say though, knowing how things end up, watching the climactic scene is not nearly as engaging, because I'm just thinking about how all the shots and edits are framed such that it's hiding the solution, you know, that will be revealed next season. So the impact of the climactic moment, it's Reichenbach Fall when Sherlock dies.
Yeah.
It doesn't hit.
What still hits is John. Martin Freeman's performance.
Sure.
Yeah. Of like grieving, knowing that he's not dead. I don't know.
Yes. And it pays off nicely in the Empty Hearse when he shows back up and is just absolutely furious.
I do love this, just the scene of him pretending to be a waiter.
Yes.
Like that whole sequence of him realizing that he's still alive.
It's great.
Yeah.
The successive smaller restaurants as assaults continue.
As they just keep getting kicked out.
Yeah. and you made an observation that is unfortunately 100% accurate.
Which is that I am the Watson to your Sherlock. And I can't unsee it.
Yeah. And I have a brother, Mycroft, who is smarter and annoying in every way. Smarter than me and knows it, and yeah. And it doesn't surprise you at all that when I was a kid and first saw Sherlock, I thought Sherlock was the coolest and acted like him.
Oh, like,
you know, trench coat and all. I wore trench coats in middle school.
I did too.
Yeah.
Later than middle school.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe not to school, but
they stopped me wearing them because of, you know, school shooter stuff. But yeah, I wore a trench coat and I talked and acted like a jerk. A smart aleck. Yeah. Because I thought he was cool.
And yeah, which did not surprise me when you told me, because like I'd already like just watching the episode, seeing just some of like just the energy and the interaction, I was like, oh, me.
Yeah. You're reading Nimona?
Yes. I'm about halfway through, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'm a third, maybe, of the way through From Hell, which is Frank Miller's telling of the Jack the Ripper story. Imagining that it's a what-if scenario, essentially, of what if the whole thing was a conspiracy by the Queen and the Freemasons. And it's good. I really like Frank Miller's art style.
Yes. No, she's just biting the table.
Don't bite that table. we're holding River so that she doesn't do worse things.
Yeah, commit horrors.
It definitely has its attitudes in the right spot, I think, in terms of the sex workers are just going about their lives, and in comes this guy who is like, yep, misogyny and, you know, imperialism must prevail, you know. The status quo must be maintained. Mm. These people are a threat. I will take them out. And it will be covered up because that is God's will. Essentially. And yeah, It's mostly discussions of architecture.
Love that.
It's, yeah, I'm probably not going to purchase it. I got it from the library, which is where you got Nimona.
Yes.
But yeah.
And I'm
you curious to read it or what?
Maybe. Yeah, no, I am really enjoying Nimona though. I think the pacing of like the comedy.
You mentioned that it actually explained Nimona's origin.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that so far I like better in the movie than the graphic novel, mm-hmm. is that in the movie she just
is
a shapeshifter. She just, like, she kind of starts to give a story of, when I was a kid, this thing happened to me, and then it's like, ha, no. Yeah. Like,
and I wish to be one day stuck in a subway being asked small-minded questions by a small-minded person.
I love the way it handles it. Yeah. And that way, it doesn't, I don't know, there doesn't have to be a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the book, it
she started out as a regular little girl.
Yeah.
Specifically a little girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there was an old witch down a well, and she was like, and the witch was like, hey, I'll turn you into a dragon so you can get me out of this well and also save your village. And she was like, okay. But the witch wasn't very good, and so she could.
Hmm.
Anyway, so she kind of got shape-shifting powers from that. Which, I mean, is fine, but I think it doesn't work. I don't know. Since that was one thing I liked about the movie.
Good adaptation, then.
A good adaptation. I don't think I don't think it's a flaw in the source material, but I do think it is. I don't know. That was the only difference that I thought stood out to me. But, I think, I don't know, it uses humor and dialogue really well in the format.
Good.
And there are.
Do you like the art style? Because it's very different from the film.
Yeah.
I was hoping that the film would go with the art style of the book because of how distinct the book's, the graphic novel's art style is.
It feels very, I don't know.
Webtoon? Like online comic?
Yeah, like very applicable to
gay online comics.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, very, this generation.
Very contemporary.
Yeah, I like its sense of humor. I like it starts out kind of slow, and it picks up some speed and momentum, and I'm quite enjoying it.
Yeah, and yesterday was just getting wedding invites ready, which we'll send out today.
Just need postage.
Yeah, go to get postage, and yeah, got to send one all the way to Belgium.
Yeah.
I'll finish the translation up for it after this. And then, and also Whitehall Mystery.
Yes.
So the reason that I was interested in this graphic novel by Frank Miller is because it was recommended to me by someone playing Whitehall Mystery, by Matt Colville. Anyway, we watched some games of Whitehall Mystery, and I think it's safe to say that we were both hooked on this game. And now we have played most of one of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Whitehall Mystery, it's a hidden movement game. One player plays Jack the Ripper.
Mm-hmm.
The other one to three players play the cops trying to stop Jack the Ripper, find him, arrest him. And yeah, we've played two rounds, one round to go. Jimmy Fishes,
mm-hmm.
as we adapted the theme a bit to make it less macabre. Instead of dropping bodies, I'm eating fishes. And Jimmy Fishes has managed to eat three fish now. And only has one more to go. How have you enjoyed the game?
Yeah, I've quite liked it.
As the investigator, lead investigator.
Yeah, it's fun. It is much more fun when you have some clues to go on. Because when you get to a point where you have no clues to go on, it's like, well, like, I'm, I don't know, like, it gets kind of monotonous of, are you here? No. Are you here? No.
Yeah,
are you here?
Fortunately, no. I was just too good at flim-flamming you. so far. But I think that's going to change with this round because you know where I have to get. I've hit three quadrants, one left. All three of you are pretty much there. And I've got to get diagonal all the way across the board. You don't know where in the quadrant I'm getting need to get to, but yeah. And you did rather well last round, even though it didn't get you much information as to where I was, from blocking me, from the across the River Thames.
I was happy with that.
The River Thames, excuse me.
I was happy with that setup.
Yeah. And then I flip-flopped, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But yeah, I think I would be surprised if I made it to where I'm trying to get. I would be surprised. But I will say this. So we have a little pad, a notepad, where we mark down all our moves that we've made. I have outlined all of my moves for this round.
Oh.
I've written them down in the little corner of the squares as my prediction for how I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. And, like, including special movements and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so I obviously am not beholden to this, but I have my prediction. And I'm hoping that it goes the way that I've planned. And it likely won't. But, yeah. So I'm looking forward to when my dad and brother get back and we can finish the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that Jimmy Fishes will finally get his fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got the one fish, I got the two fish, I got the red fish. I'm gonna get the dead fish. Anyway. All right. I think that's it, right?
Oh, we started Dune Messiah.
Oh, right. We started reading Dune Messiah. And, yeah, the first couple chapters. Mm-hmm. And what do you think?
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You see what I mean by that first, that opening? Mm-hmm. Like, the interview with Bronzo of Ix just lays out all my issues with the first Dune?
Yeah, I like coming at the character of Paul from the angle of people under his regime who have been suppressed, yeah. And that the information or like is being suppressed, even basic information that we know from the first book. So that's fun.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to, for Cytile.
Yes.
That Tyle acts to.
Yeah. The books does use he, him pronoun, but whatever. Anyway. Do you want me to try using they, them for the Cytile?
You could.
Yeah, it would be hard to catch every time.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Is that it?
I think so.
Yeah. You enjoying Spokane so far?
Yeah.
You enjoying getting out every day?
Yeah.
We're finally have an electric car. Mm-hmm. Haven't used gas since we got here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. That's all.